Is from 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and chapter 2, from the New Revised Standard Version. The Word of Life. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the Word of Life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. God is light. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is the light, we have the fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Christ, our advocate. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the witness of God's people. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. embodied. The cross, the altar, Daisy's prayer bowl, things you might see here every Sunday. Laughter, children's voice, words of hope, beautiful music, things you might hear here every Sunday. The pew, the bulletin, a dear, dear friend's hand, things you might touch and hold on to here every Sunday. The flowers, the candle, the coffee brewing down the hall, things you might smell in the church each week. Communion, coffee or tea, Tamara's home-baked goodies, awesome things you might taste here every Sunday. The passage starts today with things we don't often pay attention to. It just happens naturally without any of our effort. We experience our faith through our senses, through our body. Our faith is embodied. It lives in us and through us, through our senses. The opening portion of our passage today has the disciples offering a testimony to others, and they repeat these words like, "We have seen, we have heard, we have touched this Jesus. We know with our senses and with our whole bodies and can testify that he is and was and is the real deal." And the message we bring is that Jesus was the real deal, not just because we saw and heard and touched and spent time with him, but because eternal life turns out to be through him. Somehow God brings life out of death through him. He has eternal life, and God has eternal life through him. He rose from the grave. This is no ordinary man. This man really was divine. God in Jesus was embodied. Our faith is embodied. It lives in us and is expressed through our body, not just our senses, but our experiences also. The choices we make, how we live our lives, not just in these walls, but more importantly, out there in the world. Each Sunday, I end the service with a benediction, with a blessing, and you'll always hear me say, "Beyond these doors, our service begins." Sometimes I say, "Beyond these doors, our service truly begins." Our faith is lived in and through our bodies and our choices. Our faith is embodied. It is a lived faith. As Reverend Janet Geer said throughout the Theological Banquet series, it is a lived faith. Our faith is experienced in our body, through our body, our senses, and the passage moves on to say our choices as well, through our day-to-day ordinary and extraordinary lives that God has given us. Our words and our actions matter. Do we walk the talk? Do our actions in the world and our actions in here match what our beliefs say? Are we in alignment? Or do we say we believe the most amazing, wonderful things, but act completely contrary? If we look around and take notice in the world, there are both questionable and damaging examples of how faith is lived out in the world. There are also the most beautiful and life-giving examples of faith lived out in the body, in the world, expressing what we believe through our words and our deeds. All of this we can think of as embodied theology. Embodied theology, faith within our whole body and through our body to the people and the world around us. Our passage today starts in that sensory place, firsthand testimony of the disciples who were with Jesus. We have seen Jesus, we have heard Jesus, we have touched his hands and his cloak. We know this Jesus firsthand, they say. And the passage shifts partway through to a desire for us all to walk in the light, to align our life and our faith so we are walking the talk. If we're honest, none of us are perfect. We all fall short of God's ultimate best for us, day to day, moment by moment. We don't talk a lot about sin in the United Church, but ultimately this is what it really is. It's about us falling short of God's ultimate love and best and plan for us. It's falling short of God's mark and God's best of what God would ultimately desire as a plan for us and for the world around us. Falling short. There are choices we make that bless others and come back to bless us in return. There are simple choices we make each day. What we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to go. They come naturally some days, not so naturally other days. And there are incredibly difficult decisions we sometimes have to make as well. There's choices we make we may even feel guilty for after. That's the human experience. Only God is perfect. We can choose to do stuff that's not ultimately the best design or interest of us and the world. And those choices may, for a brief moment, be really fun. But to be honest, the excitement wears off. And if we are honest with ourselves, we may even feel bad that we did it in the first place, whatever it may be. And if we say so to God, that we regret what it is that we made a choice to do that wasn't in our best interest and fell short of God's best for us, God is quick to forgive and is in the forgiveness and the loving and redeeming business. But it doesn't mean we should run to it. Don't do it on purpose, repeatedly taking advantage of God's grace. But if it happens and we know we are imperfect, we can come before a God who is perfect and confess and receive wholeness again. This passage guides us, encourages us, implores us to walk in the light of God. In God we are connected. In God we have an incredible fellowship. In the light of God, I might add, we also find strength and courage and wisdom to carry on through all that life offers. The passage encourages us to stay there, stay in the light, live our lives and try not to go astray from God's best. But if we do, when we do, to come back into God's light, grace and harmony and love and peace and forgiveness as quickly as we possibly can. Jesus embodied. Jesus who took on all the ugliness the world could offer and offered us love and grace and forgiveness and redemption and peace and true life here now and everlasting in return. Hear the good news. God too knows what it is to be embodied, to walk in this world, to sense this world, to experience all this world has to offer. as a babe born humbly in a manger, and yet a king in circumstance and posture most humble. He who grew up to be teacher, healer, leader, shepherd, savior. Many saw and heard and touched and experienced this Jesus, and many have testified to his humanity, his embodiedness, and his divinity. The challenge in the human condition is that we are human and not divine. Good as we may be, try as we might, we have and always will somehow fall short of the perfection of God. But there's great hope that God knows and understands completely, that God loves us more than we could ever ask or imagine or earn or deserve in any way. Our quest, our invitation then, is to believe that and to somehow love God back through all of life and our embodiment, to walk in the light of God's grace and mercy and peace and joy and forgiveness and hope and best for us and best for the world as much as we humanly can, to walk with God and with others, and to live our lives informed and transformed by the light, fully, wonderfully embodied. May it be so. Amen. Christ's embodiment and our falling short of God's perfection is a beautiful way to come to the table today as we celebrate communion. It's not my table, it's not South Arm's table, it is God's table, and all are welcome. The table of bread is now to be made ready. It is the table of our company and communion with Jesus and all who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus himself identified. It is the table of communion with the very earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have a lot of faith and you who really are clinging and praying for more. You who have been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed miserably but dare to get up and try again. Come. Come to the table. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Would you please pray with me? Loving God, through your goodness, we have this bread, which has come forth from the earth and human hands have made. May we know your presence in the sharing, so we may know your touch and presence in all things. We celebrate the life that Jesus has shared among his community through the centuries and shares with us now, made one in Christ and with each other. We offer these gifts and with them ourselves, a single living act of praise. Amen. In the United Church, we practice what is called an open table. All those who would like to receive communion are welcome. Whether you are a member here or not, whether you have been here once or 100 times for 50 years or this is your first day, whether you've taken communion before and been baptized or whether you have not, all are welcome. This is God's table of love and inclusion and healing and embodiment for all. And we mean all. We're going to have the people on this side come up to this side of the church. People on these pews come up to this side. We're going to have servers help serve you communion. Dip the bread, please, into the chalice and take of it while you're here. And we'll bless you and send you back through the windows to your pew so we don't end up with a traffic jam. I'm going to call up the communion ushers. As I do, I'm just going to remind us that Maundy Thursday that we just celebrated, the night before Jesus knew he was going to go to the cross, he broke bread. He gathered all his closest followers around a table and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, remember. I won't be doing this again until such time as we meet in the kingdom, and I can do this forever with you. One day there will be a wedding banquet of the church and Jesus, and we will all gather around the greatest table ever to share fellowship and a meal with Jesus. But we do this in honor and in remembrance of him here once a month to remind us and help us remember that Jesus was embodied. And he poured out the wine. We use juice for all ages. He said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And they took and they drank, and he blessed it and blessed them. As you come forward, we bless you and ask that God bless our communion, our fellowship, and our embodiment, that we too may walk in the light. Give us a moment to set up our stations. If you are not able to come forward, please just wait and we will come to you at the end. We want everyone who would like to receive communion to receive it. Thank you so much. Sanitizer. It's okay.